Has there ever been a time that you can remember that God actually answered one of your prayers? I hope for most of you that's a yes. Just think about a time when God has answered one of your prayers. Now here's a question for you. Has there ever been a time when God didn't answer one of your prayers? We're less eager to share those times because we want God to look good to the rest of the world. But I'm guessing that for every one of us in this room, there's at least one time that we can think of when we prayed and God appeared not to answer. Whether it was a no or a not yet or whatever it was, the truth is that we prayed for something or for someone and our prayer wasn't answered. God didn't heal the person we wanted them to heal. God didn't rescue the person that we wanted him to rescue. God didn't provide what we wanted God to provide. That's the reality, isn't it? Is that we talk about the fact that we have a God who answers prayer, and we do have a God who answers prayer. We have a God who is faithful beyond reckoning. The story that we just heard is a story of God's faithfulness, even in the worst of situations. Now, sometimes we can't see God's faithfulness because you have to look through the eyes of faith to see that God is faithful. You have to listen to Regina's story, seeing God's hand in it, protecting her from death, protecting her from some of the worst things the war had to offer. But there are times when God, no matter what eyes we look through, just doesn't answer prayer. Jesus said, "Ask and you'll receive." Okay, so we ask, and then we want to be like little children who ask, and it just appears magically. But it doesn't always happen, does it? Ask, and you will receive, and sometimes ask, and you won't receive. This is one of those passages in Scripture that it is hard to accept. It feels almost cliche to just say to people, well, God answers prayer, so just ask God for it, and everything will be okay. For the couple who's been trying to have children and they just can't, well, just ask God. Just pray to God. Pray like you really mean it, and everything will be solved. For the person who wants to be married and it doesn't happen, just pray and God will send the right person. Sometimes God doesn't. When you're watching your child sick, just pray that God will heal that child or that spouse or that parent or that friend. Just pray, and God will take care of it. Except sometimes it doesn't happen, does it? Sometimes the child dies. Sometimes you never have children. Sometimes, and it goes on and on and on, doesn't it? We read Scripture like this, ask and you will receive. And yet in the back of our mind, the voice we want to shut down because it's not a good churchy Christian voice says, yeah, well, I asked and I didn't receive. Why does God answer that person's prayer and not my prayers? What's the difference? I prayed with as much passion, with as much faith, with as much vehemence as the other person. Why did God answer their prayer and didn't answer mine? Maybe God doesn't like me. Maybe I did something wrong. And then we start to get in our head these ideas that prayer is some kind of like a magic spell. Well, maybe I said the words in the wrong order or at the wrong time, or I didn't have enough people praying, or I didn't pray strongly enough, or I didn't use King James English, or whatever it is we try to come up with so that we can explain why God didn't answer our prayers. Because let's face it, every one of us sitting in this room wants to believe that God answers prayer. The reason that we pray is because we believe God will answer it. We don't pray as if just to empty sky thinking, well, I've got to say these words. We pray because we genuinely want God to answer our prayers. We want it to be true that when we ask, we will receive from God. That's what we want deep in us. And so we pray. And sometimes it doesn't seem that God answers at all. Now, sometimes when you look back at something that went on years ago, you can see God's hand in it, and you can see that God did, in fact, answer prayer, but you see that from the perspective of many years. Sometimes it's never clear. Sometimes we pray, and it just seems forever until the day that we die that God never answered that prayer. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we're praying for something that goes against God's own nature. Sometimes we're praying things like, God, would you just make that person stop doing whatever it is they're doing that's bugging you? We want God to step in and take control, like in infect their body and take over their limbs and stop them from doing whatever their free will and their free choice is allowing them to do. We want God to interfere. We look at what's going on in the world around us and we want God to take over, to kick some people out of power or to turn them into nicer people or whatever it is that we want. But our God is a God who said, I value humanity, your ability to make free choices, good choices. I'm going to allow you to make free, good choices or bad choices. So when we pray, sometimes what we're praying is that God would do something outside of his nature, outside of what he has ordained to be good and true. We pray, you know, God, I like my free will and I'm trustworthy with it. So that's good. Just stay your hands out of my free will. But those people who don't know how to handle it, we pray that you would just come and take care of them, please. It's contrary to God's nature. Sometimes we're praying for something that it's not yet time for. The best example I can think of this is the Lord's Prayer. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In how many places around the world, for how many centuries, have people prayed that line? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that over and over again. We long for God's kingdom to come, for his will to be done, for there to be no more death, no more war, no more oppression, all of that to be over, that it would be God's kingdom come. And if we look around at the world, it seems that that's like one of those prayers that maybe God isn't answering. And yet maybe it's just not time yet for that prayer. Sometimes God is up to something that's much bigger than just me. I think this is our hardest thing as human beings. We are limited. We can see the world from our own unique perspectives, and that's it. And we've got this God who sees how it all fits together, sees the whole picture, sees how we are connected, sees how events connect, see how it all knits together into this extraordinary mosaic of humanity and of history. And sometimes what we are praying doesn't fit the whole big picture. Jesus was on his knees before his Father. If anyone deserved to have their prayers heard, it was Jesus. Jesus is on his knees praying desperately to God in the Garden of Gethsemane the night that he was betrayed. And what did he pray? Father, take this cup from me. What he's praying is, me in my humanity, knowing that what's coming is going to hurt, it's going to be painful, it's going to physically, emotionally, mentally, everything, this is going to destroy me literally. Jesus prays, Father, take this cup from me. And from a purely objective standpoint, we go, well, God didn't answer that prayer, did he? If Jesus can't get his prayers answered, what hope do we have? Jesus didn't get that prayer answered because there was something bigger going on that God was up to. God was up to the salvation of all humanity. And we know that Jesus also followed that statement by saying, not just, God, take this cup from me. But he went on to say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's, I think, sometimes what's missing in our prayers. We are so focused on what it is that we need or that we want that we forget that second part which is a prayer of faith and of submission where we say, I acknowledge that I don't see the whole picture, God. I acknowledge that I don't see everything that's going on. To my eyes, this looks like pure evil and it needs to be fixed. But that's to my eyes. God, I don't know about your eyes. Now, I think in God's eyes, the crucifixion also looked to be pure evil. It was. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But God redeems. God used it for the glory, for his glory, for the salvation of humanity. Sometimes we will never know why God didn't answer our prayers. Sometimes we carry deep in us, as we lie on our own deathbeds, sorrows and regrets for things that God never seemed to come through for. And we don't know why. And those are the kind of questions we ask him when we see him face to face. So what are we supposed to do when he doesn't answer? You know, what are we supposed to do when God doesn't answer our prayers? Think about the biblical stories, Abraham and Sarah. 90 years old. They'd been promised since they were young that they were going to have a child who was going to have children, who there was going to be a nation built up from. They're 90 years old. There's no children. To their minds, there's never going to be any children by the time you're 90. Think about Joseph. Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. Joseph who ended up in a prison cell. He lost everything. He'd had dreams. He'd had visions where God said to him, you are going to be great. I am going to use you in the world. You're going to be greater than your brothers, by the way, which is what got him tossed in a prison cell to begin with. But he's had these dreams, and now here he is languishing in a prison cell. He's nothing. He's nobody. He's forgotten by the world at large. His own family thinks he's dead. Think about the Apostle Paul, who's left everything to follow Jesus. And he sits in prison, beaten, locked up, in the dark, in the dank, in the depths of a prison cell. Countless martyrs, especially in the early years of the church, who gave up everything for God, even their lives, who found themselves being hunted and persecuted and imprisoned and threatened with death. I don't think there were many of them who prayed there and went, thank you, God, for this opportunity. I think most of them said, God, would you please get me out of this? I don't want to die. I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to be imprisoned. I don't want to be flogged. I don't want to have to fight bears and lions in the arena. I don't want that. God, would you please take that away from me? So many prayers that God seemed not to answer. In our own history, Mother Teresa, who I have no doubt prayed hourly, minute by minute, for the poorest of the poor with whom she worked. She prayed for a world that wouldn't oppress people like the people that she worked with. She prayed for a world where there wouldn't be poverty. She prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. There were just as many poor, maybe more, when she died as there was when she started her ministry in India. How do you face God like that? Those are important things you're praying. It's not wrong to pray that you wouldn't be killed. It's not wrong to pray that you wouldn't be beaten. It's not wrong to pray for the end of poverty, for the end of war, the end of suffering. None of those are wrong things. Those aren't contrary to God's nature. What are we supposed to do? We say God answers prayer. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. What do we do when we ask and we don't receive? What do we do with that? All we can do is keep praying. All we can do is keep praying, holding on to our faith. Faith is not provable. The fact that we pray, even when God doesn't answer, is a testament to faith. It's a testament that even though we have not yet seen God's kingdom come and God's will done, it will happen. It's a testament to our faith that even though we pray minute by minute that God would rescue those who were the poor, that there would no longer be any poor among us, we continue to pray because we believe, we have faith that in God's will, poverty is not there. That when his kingdom comes, there will be no more poverty. We pray out of our deep sorrow and suffering in our own lives when people that we love are suffering. Because we have faith that God cares enough to listen to those words. I don't know why it is that some people get miraculously healed and other people don't. I have no idea. I would do it different if I was God. But then we all think it's a good thing I'm not God, or you either, because we would do it different and it wouldn't be good. This is what our faith tells us. This is what Scripture tells us. God is faithful. He's faithful to always be true to himself. Who is God? God is love. God is good. God is kind. God is gentle. God is also judge. God is also awesome and king and Lord of lords. God is all of these things. He is bigger than us. He is beyond us. We sometimes think that we understand God, that we've got him boxed in, and we can just pray to what's in that box, and we can predict what the answers will be because we've got God figured out. He's in those boxes. But God doesn't fit in our boxes. he doesn't fit in the boxes that we design for him. And if he did, would you really want to be praying to him anyways? Is he the God you want, somebody that you can fully comprehend? I don't want a God that I can fully comprehend. Our God is so beyond us. There is great mystery in God. And when God doesn't answer our prayers, and I don't mean those prayers like, oh man, God, could you just get me a new car, please? Or God, could you, you know, could I would really love to win the lottery. I won't play, but if you could miraculously figure out a way for me to win that jackpot, that would be great, God. I don't mean those kind of prayers. I mean those deep, gut-wrenching prayers for where we have the most sorrow, the most pain in our lives that God doesn't seem to answer. We pray because God is our Father. And we cling to that. We don't say to God, okay, God, I'll pray, you answer, I'll keep following you. Well, sometimes we do that. You don't answer, I'm done with you, I'm not going to follow you anymore. And that's really sad because God's not going to force you. But there's something of a paradox in prayer. That it's not actually the answers to our prayer that grow our faith and bring us comfort. It's the act of praying itself that brings us comfort and grows our faith. When I go to God and I cry out to him because of some deep longing in my heart that has not been met, I mean, yeah, it would be great if God just, boom, did it. But what has the lasting impact on me is knowing that I can fall into my Heavenly Father's lap and cry my eyes out, and he holds me, and he hears me, and he weeps with me. He feels my pain. And when I get up to continue on, I know that he goes with me. That's what faith is. We continue to pray because praying is how we live out our relationship with this God who has chosen to be our Father. Not just King, not some removed being that we pray to like Santa Claus. God has chosen to be our Father. As good or as horrible as your earthly father may have been, think about everything you've ever dreamed a father would be. And God is even beyond that. God, our Heavenly Father, wants to be invited in to our pain and our sorrow as much as he wants to be invited in to the good times and the celebration. It doesn't mean he'll answer, and I can't tell you why he won't answer. I can't tell you why you've prayed something for 20 years and you're not any further ahead than you were 20 years ago. But in faith, we cling to God, knowing that he cares, that his not answering is never a sign that he has forgotten us, that he has walked away from us, that he doesn't care about us. That's not what it means. Because God always cares. God is always love. God is always good. God is always Father. All of those stories throughout the Bible, some of them have prayers that were answered. Some of them have prayers that were never answered. The point is, they grew because they kept the lines of communication with God open. Scripture is important because it reminds us that God is faithful. We hear other people's stories. They remind us that God is faithful. How many times did Marie's mom pray in that camp, God, would you just rescue me? And God didn't. At least not in the way I'm sure that she would have prayed. And yet this is a woman who had faith her entire life, who passed her faith along down to her children. God didn't rescue her from the concentration camp, but God rescued her from other things. And Marie told us and pointed out some of the places where she saw God's hand there. And if nothing else, Regina was able to be secure in knowing that she was wrapped in her Heavenly Father's arms, and whatever came her way, nothing could destroy that. Nothing could remove her from her Father's arms. This week, we think about war a lot, and we think about what it costs people. We think about what it has cost our ancestors. We think about what it is costing people right now. And we pray yet again, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we don't pray only if God answers it today. We pray it today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day, knowing that our good God will answer it.